The Second Kind of Loneliness. Read for you by Mark Bramhall. June 18th. My relief left Earth today. It will be at least 3 months before he gets here, of course, but he's on his way. Today he lifted off from the Cape just as I did 4 long years ago. Out at Komarov Station, he'll switch to a moon boat, then switch again in orbit around Luna at Deep Space Station. There his voyage will really begin. Up to then, he's still been in his own backyard. Not until the Charon casts loose from Deep Space Station and sets out into the night will he feel it. Really feel it. As I felt it 4 years ago. Not until Earth and Luna vanish behind him will it hit. He's known from the first that there's no turning back, of course, but there's a difference between knowing it and feeling it. Now he'll feel it. There will be an orbital stopover around Mars to send supplies down to Burrow City and more stops in the belt. But then the Charon will begin to gather speed. It will be going very fast when it reaches Jupiter, and much faster after it whips by, using the gravity of the giant planet like a slingshot to boost its acceleration. After that, there are no stops for the Charon. No stops at all until it reaches me, out here at the Cerberus star ring, 6 million miles beyond Pluto. My relief will have a long time to brood, as I did. I'm still brooding now, today, 4 years later. But then there's not much else to do out here. Ring ships are infrequent, and you get pretty weary of films and tapes and books after a time. So you brood, you think about your past and dream about your future, and you try to keep the loneliness and the boredom from driving you out of your skull. It's been a long 4 years, but it's almost over now, and it will be nice to get back. I want to walk on grass again and see clouds and eat an ice cream sundae. Still, for all that, I don't regret coming. These 4 years alone in the darkness have done me good, I think. It's not as if I'd left much. My days on Earth seem remote to me now, but I can still remember them if I try. The memories aren't all that pleasant. I was pretty screwed up back then. I needed time to think, and that's one thing you get out here. The man who goes back on the Charon won't be the same one who came out here 4 years ago. I'll build a whole new life back on Earth. I know I will. June 20th. Ship today. I didn't know it was coming, of course. I never do. The ring ships are irregular, and the kind of energies I'm playing with out here turn radio signals into crackling chaos. By the time the ship finally punched through the static, the station's scanners had already picked it up and notified me. It was clearly a ring ship, much bigger than the old system rust buckets like the Charon, and heavily armored to withstand the stresses of the null space vortex. It came straight on, with no attempt to decelerate. While I was heading down to the control room to strap in, a thought hit me. This might be the last. Probably not, of course. There's still 3 months to go, and that's time enough for a dozen ships. But you never can tell. The ring ships are irregular, like I said. Somehow the thought disturbed me. The ships have been part of my life for 4 years now, an important part. And the one today might have been the last. If so, I want it all down here. I want to remember it. With good reason, I think. When the ships come, that makes everything else worthwhile. The control room is in the heart of my quarters. It's the center of everything, where the nerves and the tendons and the muscles of the station are gathered. But it's not very impressive. The room is very small, and once the door slides shut, the walls and floor and ceiling are all a featureless white. There's only one thing in the room, a horseshoe-shaped console that surrounds a single padded chair. I sat down in that chair today for what might be the last time. I strapped myself in, put on the earphones, and lowered the helmet. I reached for the controls and touched them and turned them on, and the room vanished. It's all done with holographs, of course, I know that, but that doesn't make a bit of difference when I'm sitting in that chair. Then, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not inside anymore. I'm out there, in the void. The control console is still there in the chair, but the rest is gone. Instead, the aching darkness is everywhere, above me, below me, all around me. The distant sun is only one star among many, and all the stars are terribly far away. That's the way it always is. That's the way it was today. When I threw that switch, I was alone in the universe with the cold stars and the ring, the Cerberus star ring. I saw the ring as if from outside, looking down on it. It's a vast structure, really, but from out here, it's nothing. It's swallowed by the immensity of it all, a slim silver thread lost in the blackness. But I know better. The ring is huge. My living quarters take up but a single degree in the circle it forms, a circle whose diameter is more than 100 miles. The rest is circuitry and scanners and power banks and the engines, the waiting null space engines. The ring turned silent beneath me, its far side stretching away into nothingness. I touched a switch on my console. Below me, the null space engines woke. In the center of the ring, a new star was born. It was a tiny dot amid the dark at first. Green today, bright green, but not always and not for long. Null space has many colors. I could see the far side of the ring then, if I'd wanted to. It was glowing with a light of its own. Alive and awake, the null space engines were pouring unimaginable amounts of energy inward to rip wide a hole in space itself. The hole had been there long before Cerberus, long before man. Men found it quite by accident when they reached Pluto. They built the ring around it. Later they found two other holes and built other star rings. The holes were small, too small, but they could be enlarged, temporarily, at the expense of vast amounts of power. They could be ripped open. Raw energy could be pumped through that tiny unseen hole in the universe until the placid surface of null space roiled and lashed back and the null space vortex formed. And now it happened. The star in the center of the ring grew and flattened. It was a pulsing disk, not a globe, but it was still the brightest thing in the heavens, and it swelled visibly. From the spinning green disk, flame-like orange spears lanced out and fell back, and smoky bluish tendrils uncoiled. Specks of red danced and flashed among the green, grew and blended. The colors all began to run together. The flat, spinning, multicolored star doubled in size, doubled again, again. A few minutes before, it had not been. Now it filled the ring, lapped against the silver walls, seared them with its awful energy. It began to spin faster and faster, a whirlpool in space, a maelstrom of flame and light. The vortex, the null space vortex, the howling storm that is not a storm and does not howl, for there's no sound in space. To it came the ring ship, a moving star at first. It took on visible form and shape almost faster than my human eyes could follow. It became a dark silver bullet in the blackness, a bullet fired at the vortex. The aim was good. The ship hit very close to the center of the ring. The swirling colors closed over it. I hit my controls. Even more suddenly than it had come, the vortex was gone. The ship was gone, too, of course. Once more there was only me and the ring and the stars. Then I touched another switch, and I was back in the blank, white control room, unstrapping. Unstrapping for what might be the last time ever. Somehow I hope not. I never thought I'd miss anything about this place, but I will. I'll miss the ring ships. I'll miss moments like today. I hope I get a few more chances at it before I give it up forever. I want to feel the null space engines wake again under my hands and watch the vortex boil and churn while I float alone between the stars. One more, at least, before I go. June 23rd. That ring ship has set me to thinking, even more than usual. It's funny that with all the ships I've seen pass through the vortex, I've never even given a thought to riding one. There's a whole new world on the other side of null space. Second Chance, a rich green planet of a star so far away that astronomers are still unsure whether it shares the same galaxy with us. That's the funny thing about the holes. You can't be sure where they lead until you go through. When I was a kid, I read a lot about star travel. Most people didn't think it was possible, but those that did always mentioned Alpha Centauri as the first system we'd explore and colonize, closest and all that. Funny how wrong they were. Instead, our colonies orbit suns we can't even see, and I don't think we'll ever get to Alpha Centauri. Somehow I never thought of the colonies in personal terms. Still can't. Earth is where I failed before. That's got to be where I succeed now. The colonies would be just another escape. Like Cerberus? June 26th. Ship today. So the other wasn't the last after all. But what about this one? June 29th. Why does a man volunteer for a job like this? Why does a man run to a silver ring 6 million miles beyond Pluto to guard a hole in space? Why throw away 4 years of life alone in the darkness? Why? I used to ask myself that in the early days. I couldn't answer it then. Now I think I can. I bitterly regretted the impulse that drove me out here then. Now I think I understand it. And it wasn't really an impulse. I ran to Cerberus. Ran. Ran to escape from loneliness. That doesn't make sense. Yet it does. I know about loneliness. It's been the theme of my life. I've been alone for as long as I can remember. But there are two kinds of loneliness. Most people don't realize the difference. I do. I've sampled both kinds. They talk and write about the loneliness of the men who man the star rings, the lighthouses of space and all that. And they're right. There are times out here at Cerberus when I think I'm the only man in the universe. Earth was just a fever dream. The people I remember were just creations of my own mind. There are times out here when I want someone to talk to so badly that I scream and start pounding the walls. There are times when the boredom crawls under my skin and all but drives me mad. But there are other times, too, when the ring ships come, when I go outside to make repairs, or when I just sit in the control chair, imaging myself out into the darkness to watch the stars. Lonely? Yes. But a solemn, brooding, tragic loneliness that a man hates with a passion, and yet loves so much he craves for more. And then there is a second kind of loneliness. You don't need the Cerberus star ring for that kind. You can find it anywhere on Earth. I know. I did. I found it everywhere I went, in everything I did. It's the loneliness of people trapped within themselves, the loneliness of people who have said the wrong thing so often they don't have the courage to say anything anymore. The loneliness not of distance, but of fear. The loneliness of people who sit alone in furnished rooms in crowded cities because they've got nowhere to go and no one to talk to. The loneliness of guys who go to bars to meet someone only to discover they don't know how to strike up a conversation and wouldn't have the courage to do so if they did. There's no grandeur to that kind of loneliness, no purpose and no poetry. It's loneliness without meaning. It's sad and squalid and pathetic. And it stinks of self-pity. Oh, yes, It hurts at times to be alone among the stars. But it hurts a lot more to be alone at a party. A lot more. June 30th. Reading yesterday's entry. Talk about self-pity. July 1st. Reading yesterday's entry. My flippant mask. After 4 years, I still fight back whenever I try to be honest with myself. That's not good. If things are going to be any different this time, I have to understand myself. So why do I have to ridicule myself when I admit that I'm lonely and vulnerable? Why do I have to struggle to admit that I was scared of life? No one's ever going to read this thing. I'm talking to myself about myself. So why are there so many things I can't bring myself to say? July 4th. No ring ship today. Too bad. Earth ain't never had no fireworks that could match the null space vortex, and I felt like celebrating. But why do I keep Earth calendar out here where the years are centuries and the seasons a dim memory? July is just like December, so what's the use? July 10th. I dreamed of Karen last night. And now I can't get her out of my skull. I thought I buried her long ago. It was all a fantasy anyway. Oh, she liked me well enough. Loved me, maybe. But no more than a half dozen other guys. I wasn't really special to her, and she never realized just how special she was to me. Nor how much I wanted to be special to her. How much I needed to be special to someone. Somewhere. So I elected her, but it was all a fantasy, and I knew it was in my more rational moments. I had no right to be so hurt. I had no special claim on her. But I thought I did in my daydreams, and I was hurt. It was my fault, though, not hers. Karen would never hurt anyone willingly. She just never realized how fragile I was. Even out here in the early years, I kept dreaming. I dreamed of how she'd change her mind, how she'd be waiting for me, etc. But that was more wish fulfillment. It was before I came to terms with myself out here. I know now that she won't be waiting. She doesn't need me, never did. I was just a friend. So I don't much like dreaming about her. That's bad. Whatever I do, I must not look up Karen when I get back. I have to start all over again. I have to find someone who does need me, and I won't find her if I try to slip back into my old life. July 18th. A month since my relief left Earth. The Charon should be in the belt by now. 2 months to go. July 23rd. Nightmares. God help me. I'm dreaming of Earth again, and Karen. I can't stop. Every night it's the same. It's funny calling Karen a nightmare. Up to now she's always been a dream, a beautiful dream, with her long, soft hair and her laugh and that funny way she had of grinning. But those dreams were always wish fulfillments. In the dreams, Karen needed me and wanted me and loved me. The nightmares have the bite of truth to them. They're all the same. It's always a replay of me and Karen together on that last night. It was a good night as nights went for me. We ate at one of my favorite restaurants and went to a show. We talked together easily about many things. We laughed together, too. Only later, back at her place, I reverted to form. When I tried to tell her how much she meant to me, I remember how awkward and stupid I felt, how I struggled to get things out, how I stumbled over my own words. So much came out wrong. I remember how she looked at me then, strangely, how she tried to disillusion me. Gently, she was always gentle. And I looked into her eyes and I listened to her voice, but I didn't find love or need, just pity, I guess. Pity for an inarticulate jerk who'd been letting life pass him by without touching it. Not because he didn't want to, but because he was afraid to and didn't know how. She found that jerk and loved him in her way. She loved everybody. She tried to help, to give him some of her self-confidence, some of the courage and bounce that she faced life with, and to an extent she had. Not enough, though. The jerk liked to make fantasies about the day he wouldn't be lonely anymore, and when Karen tried to help him, he thought she was his fantasy come to life, or deluded himself into thinking that. The jerk suspected the truth all along, of course, but he lied to himself about it. And when the day came that he couldn't lie any longer, he was still vulnerable enough to be hurt. He wasn't the type to grow scar tissue easily. He didn't have the courage to try again with someone else. So he ran. I hope the nightmares stop. I can't take them night after night. I can't take reliving that hour in Karen's apartment. I've had 4 years out here. I've looked at myself hard. I've changed what I didn't like or tried to. I've tried to cultivate that scar tissue, to gather the confidence I need to face the new rejections I'm going to meet before I find acceptance. But I know myself damn well now, and I know it's only been a partial success. There'll always be things that will hurt, things that I'll never be able to face the way I'd like to. Memories of that last hour with Karen are among those things. God, I hope the nightmares end. July 26th. More nightmares. Please, Karen, I loved you. Leave me alone, please. July 29th. There was a ring ship yesterday. Thank God I needed one. It helped take my mind off Earth, off Karen. And there was no nightmare last night, for the first time in a week. Instead, I dreamed of the null space vortex, the raging silent storm. August 1st. The nightmares have returned. Not always Karen now. Older memories, too. Infinitely less meaningful, but still painful. All the stupid things I've said, all the girls I never met, all the things I never did. Bad. Bad. I have to keep reminding myself I'm not like that anymore. There's a new me, a me I built out here, 6 million miles beyond Pluto, made of steel and stars and null space, hard and confident and self-assured. I'm not afraid of life. Past is behind me. But it still hurts. August 2nd. Ship today. The nightmares continue. Damn. August 3rd. No nightmare last night. Second time for that, that I've rested easy after opening the hole for a ring ship during the day. Day? Night? Nonsense out here, but I still write as if they had meaning. 4 years haven't even touched the earth in me. Maybe the vortex is scaring Karen away. But I never wanted to scare Karen away before. Besides, I shouldn't need crutches. August 13th. Another ship came through a few nights ago. No dream afterwards. A pattern. I'm fighting the memories. I'm thinking of other things about Earth, the good times. There are a lot of them, really, and there will be lots more when I get back. I'm going to make sure of that. These nightmares are stupid. I won't permit them to continue. There was so much else I shared with Karen, so much I'd like to recall. Why can't I? August 18th. The Charon is about a month away. I wonder who my relief will be. I wonder what drove him out here. Earth dreams continue. No, call them Karen dreams. Am I even afraid to write her name now? August 20th. Ship today. After it was through, I stayed out and looked at stars. For several hours, it seems. Didn't seem as long at the time. It's beautiful out here. Lonely, yes, but such a loneliness. You're alone with the universe, the stars spread out at your feet and scattered around your head. Each one is a sun, yet they still look cold to me, I find myself shivering, lost in the vastness of it all, wondering how it got there and what it means. My relief, whoever it is, I hope he can appreciate this, as it should be appreciated. There are so many who can't or won't. Men who walk at night and never look up at the sky. I hope my relief isn't like that. August 24th. When I get back to Earth, I will look up Karen. I must. How can I pretend that things are going to be different this time if I can't even work up the courage to do that? And they are going to be different. So I must face Karen and prove that I'm changed. Really changed. August 25th. The nonsense of yesterday. How could I face Karen? What would I say to her? I'd only start deluding myself again and wind up getting burned all over again. No, I must not see Karen. Hell, I can't even take the dreams. August 30th. I've been going down to the control room and flipping myself out regularly of late. No ring ships, but I find that going outside makes the memories of Earth dim. More and more I know I'll miss Cerberus. A year from now I'll be back on Earth looking up at the night sky and remembering how the ring shone silver in the starlight. I know I will. And the vortex, oh, I'll remember the vortex and the ways the colors swirled and mixed. Different every time. Too bad I was never a holo buff. You could make a fortune back on Earth with a tape of the way the vortex looks when it spins. The ballet of the void. I'm surprised no one's ever thought of it. Maybe I'll suggest it to my relief. Something to do to fill the hours if he's interested. I hope he is. Earth would be richer if someone brought back a record. I'd do it myself, but the equipment isn't right and I don't have the time to modify it. September 4th. I've gone outside every day for the last week, I find. No nightmares, just dreams of the darkness laced with the colors of null space. September 9th. Continue to go outside and drink it all in. Soon, soon now, all this will be lost to me forever. I feel as though I must take advantage of every second. I must memorize the way things are out here at Cerberus so I can keep the awe and the wonder and the beauty fresh inside me when I return to Earth. September 10th. There hasn't been a ship for a long time. Is it over then? Have I seen my last? September 12th. No ship today. But I went outside and woke the engines and let the vortex roar. Why do I always write about the vortex roaring and howling? There's no sound in space. I hear nothing. But I watch it. And it does roar. It does. The sounds of silence, but not the way the poets meant. September 13th. I've watched the vortex again today, though there was no ship. I've never done that before. Now I've done it twice. It's forbidden. The costs in terms of power are enormous, and Cerberus lives on power. So why? It's almost as though I don't want to give up the vortex. But I have to. Soon. September 14th. Idiot. 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 What have I been doing? The Charon is less than a week away, and I've been gawking at the stars as if I'd never seen them before. I haven't even started to pack, and I've got to clean up my records for my relief and get the station in order. Idiot. Why am I wasting time writing in this damn book? September 15th. Packing almost done. I've uncovered some weird things, too. Things I tried to hide in the early years. Like my novel. I wrote it in the first 6 months and thought it was great. I could hardly wait to get back to Earth and sell it and become an author. Oh, yes. Read it over a year later. It stinks. Also, I found a picture of Karen. September 16th. Today I took a bottle of scotch and a glass down to the control room, set them down on the console, strapped myself in, drank a toast to the blackness and the stars and the vortex. I'll miss them. September 17th. A day, by my calculations. A day. Then I'm on my way home to a fresh start and a new life, if I have the courage to live it. September 18th. Nearly midnight. No sign of the Charon. What's wrong? Nothing, probably. These schedules are never precise. Sometimes as much as a week off. So why do I worry? Hell, I was late getting here myself. I wonder what the poor guy I replaced was thinking then. September 20th. The Charon didn't come yesterday either. After I got tired of waiting, I took that bottle of scotch and went back to the control room. And out to drink another toast to the stars and the vortex. I woke the vortex and let it flame and toasted it. A lot of toasts. I finished the bottle. And today I've got such a hangover, I think I'll never make it back to Earth. It was a stupid thing to do. The crew of the Charon might have seen the vortex colors. If they report me, I'll get docked a small fortune from the pile of money that's waiting back on Earth. September 21st. Where is the Charon? Did something happen to it? Is it coming? September 22nd. I went outside again. God, so beautiful, so lonely, so vast. Haunting, that's the word I want. The beauty out there is haunting. Sometimes I think I'm a fool to go back. I'm giving up all of eternity for a pizza and a lay and a kind word. No! What the hell am I writing? No! I'm going back. Of course I am. I need Earth. I miss Earth. I want Earth. And this time it will be different. I'll find another Charon, and this time I won't blow it. September 23rd. I'm sick. God, but I'm sick. The things I've been thinking. I thought I had changed, but now, I don't know, I find myself actually thinking about staying, about signing on for another term. I don't want to. No. But I think I'm still afraid of life, of Earth, of everything. Hurry, Charon, hurry, before I change my mind. September 24th. Charon or the vortex? Earth or eternity? Damn it, how can I think that? Charon, Earth. I have to have courage. I have to risk pain. I have to taste life. I am not a rock or an island or a star. September 25th. No sign of the Charon. A full week late. That happens sometimes, but not very often. It will arrive soon. I know it. September 30th. Nothing. Each day I watch and wait. I listen to my scanners and go outside to look and pace back and forth through the ring, but nothing. It's never been this late. What's wrong? October 3rd. Ship today. Not the Charon. I thought it was at first when the scanners picked it up. I yelled loud enough to wake the vortex. But then I looked, and my heart sank. It was too big, and it was coming straight on without decelerating. I went outside and let it through, and stayed out for a long time afterward. October 4th. I want to go home. Where are they? I don't understand. I don't understand. They can't just leave me here. They can't. They won't. October 5th. Ship today. Ring ship again. I used to look forward to them. Now I hate them because they're not the Charon. But I let it through. October 7th. I unpacked. It's silly for me to live out of suitcases when I don't know if the Charon is coming or when. I still look for it, though. I wait. It's coming, I know, just delayed somewhere. An emergency in the belt, maybe. There are lots of explanations. Meanwhile, I'm doing odd jobs around the ring. I never did get it in proper shape for my relief. Too busy star-watching at the time to do what I should have been doing. October 8th, or thereabouts. Darkness and despair. I know why the Charon hasn't arrived. It isn't due. The calendar was all screwed up. It's January, not October. And I've been living on the wrong time for months. Even celebrated the 4th of July on the wrong day. I discovered it yesterday when I was doing those chores around the ring. I wanted to make sure everything was running right for my relief. Only there won't be any relief. The Charon arrived 3 months ago. I destroyed it. Sick. It was sick. I was sick. Mad. As soon as it was done, it hit me. What I'd done. Oh, God. I screamed for hours. And then I set back the wall calendar and forgot. Maybe deliberately. Maybe I couldn't bear to remember. I don't know. All I know is that I forgot. But now I remember. Now I remember it all. The scanners had warned me of the Charon's approach. I was outside, waiting, watching, trying to get enough of the stars and the darkness to last me forever. Through that darkness, Charon came. It seemed so slow compared to the ring ships, and so small. It was my salvation, my relief, but it looked fragile and silly and somehow ugly, squalid. It reminded me of Earth. It moved towards docking, dropping into the ring from above, groping toward the locks in the habitable section of Cerberus. So very slow. I watched it come. Suddenly I wondered what I'd say to the crewmen and my relief. I wondered what they'd think of me. Somewhere in my gut, a fist clenched. And suddenly I couldn't stand it. Suddenly I was afraid of it. Suddenly I hated it. So I woke the vortex, a red flare branching into yellow tongues, growing quickly, shooting off blue-green bolts. One passed near the Charon and the ship shuddered. I tell myself now that I didn't realize what I was doing. Yet I knew the Charon was unarmored. I knew it couldn't take vortex energies. I knew. The Charon was so slow, the vortex so fast. In two heartbeats, the maelstrom was brushing against the ship. In three, it had swallowed it. It was gone so fast. I don't know if the ship melted or burst asunder or crumpled, but I know it couldn't have survived. There's no blood on my star ring, though. The debris is somewhere on the other side of null space. If there is any debris. The ring and the darkness looked the same as ever. That made it so easy to forget. And I must have wanted to forget very much. And now? What do I do now? Will Earth find out? Will there ever be relief? I want to go home. Charon, I... June 18th. My relief left Earth today. At least I think he did. Somehow the wall calendar was broken, so I'm not precisely sure of the date, but I've got it back into working order. Anyway, it can't have been off for more than a few hours, or I would have noticed. So my relief is on the way. It will take him 3 months to get here, of course. But at least he's coming.